All right, Chris Lowe, he covers college football for ESPN. He is always kind with his time and joins us on the Pepsi Hotline. I think I saw you with Nick Saban on the Saban Show last time. Am I right about that, Chris?
Yeah, you sure did. Had a chance to spend some time in Tuscaloosa yesterday with Coach and did his show last night. So it's always good to get down. And it's been a while, but always get down to check out the Tide and sort of get his thoughts on where they are and where they're going. And it's a different team. You know, it really is. I think we're most of us who've watched Alabama are used to seeing Jalen Waddle and Devontae Smith and Najee Harris, Leatherwood up front. I mean, you look at all those Dickerson centers, all those guys are starting now in the NFL. And even Alabama, as well as they recruit, it's hard to just automatically, immediately reload and be just as good. And clearly this team, although I think is one of the best teams in the country, has a ways, I think Nick would tell you that, has a ways to go before they're going to be what everybody wants them to be.
Does Ole Miss, and you know, I know Nick Saban's one of these coaches, he's not going to look ahead. I mean, it's all about Southern Miss this week. But when you've watched Ole Miss these first 3 weeks, and not that they play great competition, do they look like a top 10 team to you?
Well, in my poll last week, that's exactly where I had them was 10. And I know we can't start comparing scores, you know, especially 3 weeks of the season, it doesn't mean anything. But you look at the way Tulane played Oklahoma versus the way Ole Miss just destroyed them. I think that counts for something. You know, I had a chance to go watch Ole Miss scrimmage right before they started the season. It was their last preseason scrimmage. And I remember coming away from that scrimmage thinking a couple things. Number one, I thought the defense would be improved. Not a top, maybe not necessarily an upper tier SEC defense, but certainly better than they were last year with the new faces, linebacker, the safety, Reese, be available all season. He makes a huge difference. The other thing is they've got guys at playmaking positions, receiver, a couple guys, the running back Ealy that just about anybody in the league would want to have. And the third thing is, you know, Corral might be the best quarterback in the country. And if he's not the best, I think he's one of the top three. I mean, he can really throw it. Great presence in the pocket, can move around, can escape, and is absolutely fearless. And to this point, has seemed to cut down his turnovers. Now, the true tests are yet to come. So, yeah, I think Ole Miss is the top 10 team. I think you could probably make a case right now that there are four top 10 teams in the league.
Yeah.
Certainly Georgia, Alabama, Ole Miss, maybe Texas A&M, but I think Florida's the top 10 team. The way, even though they lost, the way they played, and really I thought in the second half of that game, last week won the line of scrimmage with Alabama, the way they ran the football. So I think those four, and maybe A&M is, they've yet to really look like a top 10 team yet, but they certainly have the talent to be one.
Yeah, and that's where I was going to go with you, Chris, is that I came away from the Florida-Alabama game really impressed with Florida, and that really made me rethink the SEC East. Georgia's obviously really good. That win at Clemson, even though Clemson is struggling, still resonates with me. But do you see Florida closer to Georgia than you thought they would be? I know we're weeks away from the cocktail party, but that SEC East seems a lot more interesting now.
Yeah, well, I do. And you know, I've come to never really doubt Dan Mullen when it comes to quarterback play, and figuring out what he is, what they are on offense. He's as good as anybody at taking his personnel that year and fitting his plan and what they want to do to that personnel. I don't care who's playing quarterback, what their style is at quarterback. He's as good as it gets. I thought defensively Florida, as I said, in the second half, after they sort of got hit in the mouth by Bama there in the first quarter, really held their own on defense, you know, in that game in the second half. So, yeah, here's what I think. I think the whole league, I say the whole league, the best 6 to 7 teams are probably closer than they have been a long time. There's been a clear separation the last few years. It's been Bama and everybody else. You sprinkle Georgia in there some, certainly LSU in 19, which was just a dominant football team. But you had a pretty wide gulf between that team or two and those years and everybody else. See, this year I think I'm going to say this, and you guys will have me back on in December, and everybody will start laughing. I'd be pretty surprised if anybody's unbeaten this year in the SEC when it's all said and done. I think everybody's going to have a loss. I think everybody's going to beat up on everybody. And I think even teams like an Arkansas, a Kentucky, maybe Missouri, I mentioned Texas A&M early. See, I think those teams may have a win somewhere along the way. I'm not saying they're going to challenge for the West or the East, but they may have a win somewhere along the way that we don't necessarily see coming that shapes the race. I just think it's going to be that kind of year in the SEC.
Chris Lowe is with us at CLOE ESPN on Twitter. He is on the Pepsi Hotline. All right, so here's what I'm thinking about this Texas A&M Arkansas game. I'm fascinated by it to begin with because of what Sam Pittman has been able to do at Arkansas this year. It will get played up as an elimination game in the West. Who needs it more, do you think? Texas A&M and I hate to even mention Arkansas in the West race because I think actually as good as Sam Pittman has done, they'll do well to be bowl eligible. But who has to have this win more Saturday, or is it even?
No, I think, I guess technically A&M could lose it.
And beat Alabama. Yep.
And still get the championship game. So, but if they lose it, I have a hard time seeing them navigate their way through the rest of it. Right. To me, that's going to be pretty telling. They're just not very good.
And Arkansas still has Alabama and Georgia. So, I mean, it's more important for Texas A&M.
The Hogs just don't have the personnel, I don't think, to go through the season with only one or two losses. But you're right. I mean, Sam Pittman, and I think to go Barry Odom in there as defensive coordinator, Kendall Briles, they've done about as good a coaching job from where they found that program last year. And remember, they did it in a COVID year, and they didn't win a whole lot of games. Boy, they were competitive. I think the Auburn game was a couple of games they should have won and sort of got screwed. But they, the way they play and how physical they are, how well coached they look to this point, he's done about as good a job as anybody. And you know, it's a reminder that all fan bases, when you go through a coach search, you know, they want Urban Meyer and they want Nick Saban and they want, Bob Stoops. Well, sometimes when you get a guy like a Pittman who fits that school, who fits that environment, who can recruit, who likes to recruit and is secure enough that he can surround himself with really good coaches, like a Barry Odom who's been a head coach before, sometimes those guys work better or fit better than someone who's been an established head coach and has had a lot of success.
Although it's the most difficult game or one of the most difficult games on the board for me, LSU-Mississippi State, I think it's an easier answer that Brown just asked. I would assume this game much more important for Orgeron than Leach after Leach went 6-23 through the air against LSU last year.
I don't have a good feel for the Tigers, or as Coach Ogeron would say, the Tigers, this year. Their schedule is brutal. They, they've already got the loss at UCLA. It may be a struggle for LSU to get to 7-5 this year. I just haven't seen enough of them or from them that would, against that schedule, that would make me say that they could be a really good football team at this point. And they may get better. And I think it's probably unfair to assess any quarterback, Max Johnson or anybody who's starting for the first time after just three games. Same with Bryce Young. I mean, everybody knows Bryce Young. I was with Nick last night. He should have run more. He should have done this. Well, he's only played three football games. And remember, that game for Bryce Young was on the road. I mean, he had never, as a collegiate player, experienced, I know he was a backup last year, but experienced a situation where there were fans in the stands. You know, you couldn't hear the snap count. You couldn't hear yourself think. So I think it's hard to assess, especially first-year quarterbacks, after just three games. But now I think LSU loses this game. I think they're going to probably be looking at about a 500 season.
Mm. Chris, more like tell me this. Which upset would surprise you the most this weekend? West Virginia beating Oklahoma, North Carolina State beating Clemson, or Wisconsin beating Notre Dame? Which one would surprise you the most?
Probably the first one, probably West Virginia. I think Clemson's too good, too talented. That they're going to get it going at some point. It's not like they've been bad on defense. They've been really good on defense. It's the quarterback and offense issue. So I would probably say West Virginia. But you know, just like I said with the SEC, I think college football in general, there's a balance, there's a parity. I think you're going to see some games that you look up after the game's over and you go, whoa, I didn't see that coming. We've already almost seen a few of those, and we have seen a few of those. I mean, who saw Oregon going to Ohio State and winning? I surely didn't predict that. And I think you're going to see some more of that. See, I wonder this, guys. I wonder, coming off of COVID year, last year was so hard for everybody, the players, the coaches, the training staffs. It was just a grueling year. And you come off that year, and remember, recruiting was different. Everything was different as you come into this year. Now, it's refreshing to be able to go into stadiums and see environments like we're used to seeing in college football. But I still think there's a little bit of an after effect on all the teams coming out of last year. And maybe that explains a little bit, maybe more the balance, that more of the quote-unquote blue-blood teams don't look like they're as dominant. And I think you're going to see that maybe continue to play out a little bit this year. As we get, though, towards November, I still think you're going to see the cream rise to the top. And for all the talk about, you know, expanding the playoff or this team or this conference, maybe this is their year, I still think it's the usual suspects that will be playing the playoff in some form or fashion.
All right, he is Chris Lowe, ESPN, at CLowe ESPN on Twitter. Read him there, see him on ESPN, and follow him on Twitter, at CLowe ESPN. Chris, thank you for the time. Have a great weekend.
You bet, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, take care. Chris Lowe with us on the Pepsi Hotline.